listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Well, are you ready for Christmas? It will be here in just a few days, and I know people are out shopping. They're completing those Christmas lists. The tree's been up, and we're getting ready. We've been talking about the anticipation of Christmas, and we're going to continue that discussion today about anticipating when Jesus would come. We're going to begin today in Isaiah Chapter 7. And if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it up and join us today as we consider His Word. I do want to remind you about our little prayer journal, and we're going to add something to our prayer journal. And, you know, soon it's going to be the end of the year. And so if you write to us, as always, write to us, tell us where you're hearing the broadcast today, give us an address, we'll send you one of our prayer journals. But we'll also include a pamphlet about reading the Bible through in a year. We're going to be talking about that more next week, but we'll include that as well for this week only. And so mention also the Bible reading guide. So write to us, considerhisword.org is the website. You can request it through there. Now, the prayer journal is just a little notebook, fits into your shirt pocket, into a purse or Bible case. You can carry it around with you. And as people ask for prayer, you can write those prayer requests down. I take mine with me to church Wednesday, and as I hear prayer requests, I can make notes of them and pray for those all week long. Or pray until God answers, and that's why you have the prayer journal to mark down those answers as well. So you can do it through the website, considerhisword.org. There's a link that says Contact Us. Again, tell us where you're hearing the broadcast today, and send us that address, and we'll get one out to you just as quick as we can. Now, you can also email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. More and more, we're getting requests through the email, and that's fine. Or as many do, you can just simply write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Let me give that to you one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, all this month we've been talking about the anticipation of Christmas, and here it is coming up in just a few days. And so we're going to try to wrap all this up today about anticipating the coming of the Messiah. We've talked about how the prophets looked for Him and watched for Him, how there was a priest, Zechariah, that was watching for Him, how His parents were also watching. We didn't speak a lot about that. We'll talk more about that today. And how the people were watching for Messiah, the one that would come. There were a number of things that they were particularly looking for. Now, I want to read from Isaiah 7:14, which is the prophecy of Isaiah. Because you see, in prophecy, in anticipating the coming of Jesus, they were anticipating a baby that would be born to special parents. And there was a sign that they would be looking for. Isaiah gave them that sign. It's Isaiah 7:14, where he said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Later in Matthew, the scripture tells us Emmanuel being interpreted is God with us. They anticipated that the baby would have to be born to special parents. Part of that lineage would be the lineage of David. And so when you read the genealogies of Matthew, now let me explain. When you begin reading the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, right away you run into a list of names. These names are the genealogy of Jesus Christ. They did not need any of these new DNA test sites. The Bible tells them, I believe, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who those parents were. It's an interesting study of its own, going through those genealogies and following back through generation after generation and generation to when Jesus would be born. Now, Matthew goes back through the line of David, the family of kings, all the way back to Abraham to when Jesus would be born. You follow the genealogies of Luke, you see there's a similar list there, but I say similar, it's different, because in Luke, he goes all the way back to Adam and shows how these parents were special parents in their genealogy, special in their families, as they had to have the right lineage on both sides, on both Mary's side and Joseph's side. Now, we know that Mary is the one that was important because Jesus was virgin born. Now, Joseph was there, and Joseph was at would be her husband and help raise a Savior. He had little to do with the actual birth of Jesus in one sense. In fact, you read the book of John, and in a way, John gives us a genealogy, though he didn't give us a list of names. He begins with God himself and how Jesus would eventually become flesh. The Word was made flesh, he said, and dwelt among us in John 1:14. So he had to be born to special parents, particularly Mary, who was a virgin. And it would be the sign of his birth. But you see, the prophets anticipated how the baby would be born in a special place. Now, this is from Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. That could only be the Messiah, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, the name Bethlehem means the place of bread. Ephrathah means a place of fruitfulness. Certainly, all those have their own significance, even when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, the place of fruitfulness. It was considered something that was just so small, a place so small and so insignificant, just a little town. They didn't really anticipate that much would happen there at all, except that it was the city of David. And they anticipated that that baby would be born in this special place. Small, unassuming town, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. But it would be the birthplace of kings, King David, and now the birthplace of the King of Kings, Lord Jesus himself. They anticipated that the baby would be born, that the baby that was to be born would be a very special person. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Certainly, this child would be a very special child, special in his birth, that virgin birth, special in his relationship to God. He was the only begotten of the Father, special in all of these names, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He was. This is what John explains to us, how that Jesus was before Jesus was. Jesus existed before he came to this earth as a human, as a baby. He's given the name Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. But you see, probably one of the most important things of all is that he would be born for a special purpose. This purpose we find in Isaiah chapter 53. I want to read several verses from Isaiah because it tells us why Jesus came. Now, Isaiah certainly here is talking about his death when he would die on the cross. But that's why he came. He came to die. He came to take the place of our sin on that old rugged cross. Isaiah said of him, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Here's the thing. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There was why he came. To take our sin, that he would take upon himself and bear on himself our sin and then die that death that we should have died and took our place on the cross. He would take upon himself, he said, our griefs. He was a man of sorrow. He took our transgressions, our sin upon himself, our diseases and infirmities, yet we refused him. We turned away from him, away from God. Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet through Jesus, God would restore to us a relationship to the Father. By taking our sin upon himself. It's interesting what the angel told Joseph. Remember when Joseph had heard that Mary was going to have a child, and the Bible says that he was beginning to plan a way to put her away privately. And while he was thinking about these things, probably trying to think about, how can I do this? How can I get her out of town? How can I protect her? There was an angel that came to him and said, that she should bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Later, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he put it this way. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, he took our sin. There is the purpose of Christmas. We celebrate a child, but we also celebrate life, new life. In Christ. Consider God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his words.